All right, we're going to introduce our special guests. Roger and Margaret Clark work in a very difficult country, Haiti, very close to the United States, and yet worlds apart, completely third world nation that seems to always be in turmoil. Huge, huge, tremendous needs there. A number of you have gone to Haiti and worked with them and have seen up front exactly what they're doing there. I had the privilege of going there in 1987. They've been working there since way back then. And so they deserve tons of honor and respect this morning for all that they do for the kingdom, for all the sacrifices they make, for all the ways they serve. So I believe Margaret's going to come up first. So let's give them a round of applause and welcome them.
Well, it's a joy to be here. It's a joy to be here. We always feel at home and welcome when we come to this church. We thank you for your prayers and your support. It means the world to us. We could not do what we do without the prayers of God's people behind us. I am here to declare the glory of God through my life and through everything that I do. That's my purpose. Roger and I, this has been an extremely difficult couple of years for us in Haiti. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. But I am mostly here to declare the glory of God and his miracles and his wonderful love for us. He never ceases to amaze me in all the things that he does and in the ways that he works in our lives and the ways that he plans for our lives. And he plans so far ahead. You have no idea what God's planning for you 10 years from now, and he's already started planning it. 12 years ago, God put it on Roger and my heart to invest in a piece of property in the south of Haiti. And we had no idea that this past year we would be living on that property. We had no idea. It was just an investment for our future. But God had a plan. He had a plan. This past year, we've been through COVID in 2020. And in 2021, we did travel to the United States. We went to the West Coast. We left our house on June 1st in the morning. And on June 1st in the afternoon, the gang war began in our neighborhood. And all of our neighbors abandoned their homes with what they could carry. And we have not been back to our home since. It's been over a year. The gangs are still fighting. There's gunfire in that neighborhood every day. We lived in that home for 25 years. Our neighbors were our friends. So we've had great loss this year. We lost our home, which we hope one day to return to. All of our things are still in our home. We got a few of them out, but most of them are there. But what we lost most was our relationships. We lost our neighbors. We lost our church family, which is on the other side of the city. We lost our coworkers that we worked with every day. We now only see them once every 2 weeks. So we lost relationships. We were in the United States, and we were supposed to return, and we couldn't. We didn't have a place to go. We stayed an extra 6 weeks in the United States. And finally, Roger said, you know, we need to go back. And I said, yeah, we do. And we didn't know if the Bible school would function. We didn't know if the elementary schools, we didn't know if anything would function, any of our projects would go. But our calling is to be present in Haiti. And that's what we're called to do. Whatever we do, we're there in Haiti to reflect God's glory and to show his love. And so we're like, we got to go. So we packed up our bags and we went. We're like, well, where are we going to live? Well, the only place we had to live was this piece of property on the south coast of Haiti. And we had, in 2020, the year before that, we had built a one-room building for our retirement in 10, 15 years. And so, well, we said, we'll go there. And it had no electricity. It had no running water. It had an outside bathroom. You can imagine what that is. But that's where we went to live. God blessed us with a place. And by Christmas time, we had indoor plumbing. We had running water. I had a kitchen sink. Yay! Thank God for all of his blessings. He is amazing. And although we were sad, we were sitting on the, looking at the Caribbean Ocean every morning, drinking our coffee, and who can complain about that? I mean, so in the midst of great trials and difficulties, we had joy, and we had a place of peace, a place of safety where we could live. It's been quite an adjustment to live in the countryside instead of the city. But God has blessed us. And amazingly enough, we had to relocate the Bible school because it was in that building that was taken over. But we had 20 students graduate this year. Amazing. God did that. He provided a place for us to rent. He provided the rent even before we knew we needed it. God is amazing. Last August, there was another earthquake in Haiti. One of our churches fell down, and it fell onto the parsonage, and the pastor was killed. And it saddened us greatly. And the elementary school there also fell down. But God is good, and he has a plan. That pastor had already prepared another person to take his place, another young man. He had already prepared another school director to direct the school. God provided the funds and the labor. The school fell down in August. October 1st, they opened their doors and had students. We thank God for that. That is a miracle. The church has a foundation. It's been built. We're looking to do the walls next. God is good. His work will go on. He has a plan for everything. And so I am here today to declare, yes, we have had very difficult times. But God is God, and God is amazing. And I just declare his glory and his love. And I thank him for that.
It's just a blessing to be back here. We just love you people, and we just cannot thank you enough for your graciousness and kindness and prayer and support of our ministry. And we just could not be doing what we're doing in Haiti without you being involved in what God is doing through us in Haiti. And so you just really have a bird's eye view of what we're doing, and God's just amazing. As Margaret has said, that just things are just, Haiti has gone totally, it's at the lowest point in modern history right now. I've been there 36 years as an adult, and I was 3 years as a child. I was there in 1977, 78, 79 as a child with my father, so I know where Haiti was and what it was like, and it was a lot better back then. But it's a challenge for the Haitian people to survive, and most of them are in survival mode. And 70% of the city is controlled by, Port-au-Prince is controlled by gangs right now. And they assassinated the president in last year, a year ago. And they've not been able to have elections, and so. It's just, it's easy to give up hope, but, you know, we cannot give up hope because we have a God who can do all things. Amen? You know, there's one thing that everyone needs, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, something that is more important than any bodily or physical need that we have, and this is God's love. Love is universal. It's a universal need and language that transcends race, gender, how one looks, personal and political views. The world is fragmented and divided and hurting on so many levels. Yet love is able to prevail and heal all these divisions and wounds. Today I want to show you God's great love for us, a love that is so deep, so wide, and so great that we will never fully comprehend it. Yet the more we comprehend God's love or understand God's love, the greater transformation it'll bring to our lives and to the lives of those around us. We believe that the love of Jesus Christ is able to transform our lives and the lives of all those around us in our nation. John 13, Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And why is this a new commandment? Because in the Old Testament, God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's nothing new. But what's new about this commandment is he's not asking us to love others as we love ourselves, but he's asking us to love others as he loves you, as he loves other people. That's taking the next step. That's taking it to the next level. You know, actually, a lot of us may not love ourselves that much, you know. And even if we do love ourselves, we can never love ourselves as much as God loves you. You know that? He loves you more than you love yourself. And so when he says that we are to love as he loves, that's taken to another level in Christ Jesus and in our lives. God's love is great. Psalms 57, verse 10. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. And I want to reflect on the word great. I want to give you some synonyms for the word great. And some words that we could replace the word great with: extravagant love, vast, distinguished, exalted, lofty, famed, glorious, notable, outstanding, superior, unfathomable, above all. That's what he means when he's talking about the great love of God. And the word extravagant, if you look in the dictionary, it says more than is usual, necessary, or proper, exceeding the limits of reason or necessity. I like that last part, exceeding the limits of reason or necessity. Often it's our reasoning capacity that hinders us from loving others. We like to reason things out. And reason, why should I love that person? Why shouldn't I love that person? But when you have the love of God, the extravagant love of God, it exceeds the limits of reason, necessity. And I like to look at it as, just imagine, I know that you love your children. And I've been told that when you have grandchildren, I hate to say that, but you may even love them more than your children. You take it to another level. You'll do anything for your grandchildren. And so imagine you're at a pool, and your grandchild falls in, and your grandchild doesn't know how to swim. Hey, and you don't know how to swim either. You're going to jump in too. You're going to jump in. And it defies reason. Why are you jumping in? You can't swim either, you know. And I remember in Haiti, there was a missionary down there that had a team in, and they went to the beach. They had a day at the beach after their hard day of work, and that beach is actually only a mile away from where I live. And he took a team down there, and they were in the water, and then there's a lot of undertow sometimes at that beach, and it was taking one or two people out in undertow, and the missionary just ran in to save the lives of those people, and in the process lost his life, because that was the love of God. I mean, it was beyond, you know, it's, you just think about it. He didn't, you know, how often maybe you have done the same thing in a situation. You didn't even think about it. You just jumped in and did it because of that love that God has in us. Lofty, rising to a great height, very high and good, deserving to be admired. Is that the kind of love that we are showing others? Distinguished. Definition, but distinguished, known by many people because of some quality or achievement. Does this church has a reputation of love? Do you have a reputation of love? Because this is what's going to draw people to you. This is what's going to draw people to your church. This is what's going to draw people to Christ Jesus. God's love abounds. Psalms 86, verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Abound. What is abound? Well, abound is being talking about being plentiful, overflowing. Our love is to be plentiful, overflowing. God's love is eternal. Psalms 100, verse 5, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God's love is limitless. God's love is unending. And that's the love that we are to have in our lives. That's the love that we is to flow through us. What we in Greek is called the agape love, the unconditional love, the unmerited favor love. And when we have this love, this means loving the unlovely. It's easy to love those who love us. And Jesus said, you know, if you just love those who love you, you're no different than the sinner or the evil man or whoever they are. And, you know, when we have now moved to Jacmel, which is in the south part of Haiti. It's 3.5 hours away from Port-au-Prince to get there over the mountains. But we have a new mission field, and it's our neighbors. They're a new mission field, and they're not an easy mission field. We actually come through, when we come off the main road into our property, there is a community, a small community. It's all family, cousins, uncles, aunts, and everybody else. And we come through there, and it's a poor community. But they're not only poor, they're very demanding. They're demanding. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And we have done many things for them. We have a well on our property, and we allow them to come in and draw water out of the well because the water is not close by. It's difficult. Most Haitians do not have running water in their homes. And so that's one of the things we've done for them. Another thing is we put out a power station for their phones. And I put a power station out for them. We only have solar. Our house is fully on solar because the power, city power, is not dependable. And so they often don't have any power at their house either. So we put a power station, and they plug their phones. First time I put one power strip out, and they were complaining that they didn't have enough power and enough plugs. So I put a second power strip on there. And it still wasn't enough. And how did I know that? Because they were finding power strips and putting power strips on power strips. And so you got 20 or so phones out there being charged all day. But, you know, that's the way we're showing the love of Christ to them But you know, you would think that they would love back and appreciate you, and but as soon as you say no, it's like you never did anything for them, you know. So we're learning how to love the unlovely. This means loving those who you believe are not worthy of your love. There's a Haitian pastor in Haiti that I really appreciate. He's not a part of our ministry, but one of the things that God put upon his heart is to go in and minister to the gangs. And he has met with several gang leaders. He has met with the gang leader that is in control of our area. He's met with several other gang leaders. And God has given favor with these gang leaders. And he sets up an appointment, and he goes in with about three or four other guys with him. And they go and give the gospel. And they meet with them. And he told me one time he went in, and they went into the house, whatever location that was. And the gang, the head guy of the gang was there. And all the, they called them soldiers. And they formed a circle, and he was in the middle of the circle, and he gave them the gospel. Now, each of them have in their arms, on their laps, they're actually sitting down in the circle, and they all have military-grade weapons on them, and he's giving the gospel. He gives them each a Bible, he gives them each a book, and he tells them about Jesus Christ, and he says, let's pray. And so he stands in the middle of this circle, and they're praying, and he's praying. Of course, all those guys are still on their knees with their powerful automatic military weapons in their hands with their eyes open. They didn't close them. But he prayed, and the word of God was spoken to them. And he's done this several places. And that's what we are about as believers. We are to show the love of God to those who maybe in our minds are not worthy of our love. This means loving those who don't respect you and say negative things about you. You know, I think, why do people often disrespect us and say negative things about us? Usually it's because we have a different view that they have. We don't view things the same way. We maybe live a different life. And I see in Haiti, and I see in the United States, such great division. And we cannot sit down and talk about politics. Even as Christians, we can't sit and talk with one another. If you're a Republican and you're a Democrat, we can't sit down and talk without getting angry, without getting upset. You know, well, that's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. How can't we talk about the social issues without getting all riled up about it? You know, you may look at it differently than I look at it, but that's not a problem. You know, I still love you, and I still can fellowship with you, and I still can pray with you, and I can still support you, even though you do not have the view that I have. And so this is the kind of love that God has and the kind of love that we are to have. And we as a church need to be that factor of love in this country. The people of this nation and of Haiti, they need to see your love. Love means loving those who abuse you, mistreat you, or hate you. You know, and I've experienced much of that in my lifetime in Haiti, where those who have hated me and who have abused me. In the area that the property we have, it's a beautiful piece of property on the Caribbean Ocean. And our neighbor, one of our more well-to-do neighbors, decided that I was doing something that was affecting his property and was causing flooding in his property, which was not true, but that's what he used. And he took me to the judge, took me to court three times, trying to make me undo what I did. And you don't want to, I mean, court in the U.S. and court in Haiti is just two different things. And you don't want to ever go to court in Haiti. It's not a good thing. It's never a good thing. So, you know, he came at me, and he not only took me to court, he took several of his relatives to court at the same time because they were involved in what was happening too. And so after that happened, and God was gracious, and we were victorious in the situation. But after that, the two relatives that he took to court, along with me, they said, "We'll never speak to him again. Don't ever speak to him again." And I said, "No, I can't do that." You know, and so every time after that, I would speak to him because he's still my neighbor, and I'd speak to him. And you know, first he'd respond timidly and, you know, "Okay, yeah, hello, good morning," you know, and there wasn't much communication. But over time, the wall was broken down, and just a couple weeks ago, he was saying, "You know, you really have a nice piece of property, you know. I like you're really taking good care of it. It's nice." And I said, well, "Why don't you come in? Why don't you come in?" And they opened the gate. It's because it's a walled-in property. And opened the gate and said, "Come on in and check it out." And we walked around the property and we chatted a little bit and everything. And, you know, because I was being an example. By God's grace, I still love the guy and showed the love of God to him. And those other people, they're like, "Well, you know, this is strange, you know. Why is he talking to him, you know?" You know, he actually tried to put me in prison. And so, but, you know, that's what the love of God is. God's love empathizes with us. Isaiah 63, verse 9, the first part of the verse says, "In all their distress, he too was distressed." And when we talk about distress, we talk about we need to be empathetic, we need to be sympathetic, we need to be compassionate. There's a lot less of that in the world today. There's a lot less sympathy, there's a lot less compassion. And are you distressed when you see others distressed? I know that I'm distressed when I see my neighbors who are very poor. It distresses me. And I love Margaret's a giver, and I'm a giver, but I'm a pushover, you know, and I'm a pushover, and they always come to me because whatever they ask, I'm almost always giving it to them, and Margaret's reining me in, you know, say, "Hey, you know, you can't be doing that all the time," and so forth and so on, you know, but I'm a big pushover, and they all think I'm Santa Claus, you know, so. You know, but that's the way it is, and because it distresses me when I hear about the suffering that they're going through. "Oh, you know, I can't eat today. I haven't eaten today," and so forth and so on, things that we have never experienced in our lives. And so, this is what this is the love of God. God's love is redemptive. Isaiah 63, verse 9, the second part of it, "And the angel of his presence saved them. In love and mercy, he redeemed them." And so God's love is, first of all, forgiveness. God showed us the example. He forgave us when we were in our sin. And love involves reconciliation and restoration. That's the message, the central message of the gospel is redemption. The central message of the gospel is reconciliation and restoration. And we as a church in this nation, and we as a church in Haiti, we need to show people how to reconcile. We should not be part of the division. We should not be part of creating more division, you know, and we must show the love of God and seek to reconcile. I know that in the United States, America, and Haiti as well, as that we are so polarized, either to the left or to the right. There's very few moderates left in this country, and we're so convinced about what we believe and what we think is to be done, and it's caused so much division. But we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, who has the love of God, our purpose is to bring reconciliation and to bring restoration in people's lives, not to bring division and not to be hated. Because there's a lot of Christians who are hated and they are deserved to be hated because they're not showing the love of Christ to those who may not look like them or think like them or act like them or believe like them. God's love is tender and protective. Isaiah 63:9, the last part of that verse, he says, he lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Like a loving mother who carries his child. That's the love of God. God's love is sacrificial and involves action. 1 John 4:9-10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's agape love. And agape love will cost you something. What will it cost? What does agape love cost? Well, it really only costs two things, selfishness and pride. You know? Because if you're selfish, you're not going to be able to have agape love. And if you're prideful, you're not going to be able to have agape love too. And of course, we cannot have this agape love without the Holy Spirit working in us. Because it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so to walk in the love that I'm sharing with you today, we only can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and together encouraging one another daily to walk in love. Show the love of Christ. Don't just talk about the love of Christ. I'm telling you about the love of Christ, but you must now love others even as God loved you when you were a sinner, when you had your back turned against him, when you did not even know who he was. He loved you. He died for you. When he died on the cross, he died for those who put the nails in his hands, for those who said, crucify him, crucify him. And you know that Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They don't know what they're doing. And when we look at the world and all the craziness that's going on in the world and those things that to me are just make no sense and are so dark and so sinful and everything, and we must remember they are blind. They don't know what they're doing. So why are you upset at them? Why are you angry with them? They don't know what they're doing. They don't have Christ Jesus in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. So why are we all riled up about them? Why are they our enemies? Why are we, you know, yes, we need to speak the truth. Yes, we need to show the way. I'm not against politics. I'm not against being involved in politics. But there's something greater than being involved in politics. It's loving others as Jesus loved us. And that's what's going to transform this nation. It's not going to be the Republicans. It's not going to be the Democrats. Okay? They're not going to transform this nation. It's not going to be this president or that president. You know, it's not going to be this group or that group. But it's the love of Christ. We as a church, when we manifest the love of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our community, to our state, to our nation, this is what's going to bring transformation, and this can only be done by the Holy Spirit. Agape love always protects, always trusts, always hopes. That's why we're still in Haiti. Because there's a lot of missionaries who left. And I can't blame them. You know, I'm not criticizing them. But what keeps us in Haiti is because we love, first of all, we're called. Second, we love the Haitian people. And we're not giving up on Haiti. From the human point of view, if I talk to you just out of my mental capacities, I will say there is no hope for Haiti. I see no way out of the situation it's in. People ask, how can it change? What's going to make a difference? I tell you, I don't know. I literally do not know. All I see is every week and every month is getting worse. And kidnapping is on the rise, and it's just gone ballistic. And probably we're coming close to kidnapping capital of the world. And I don't know if that's what they call it yet, but it's crazy. And I don't see the answer. I don't see how Haiti's going to get out of the hole that it's dug for itself. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. And it's going to take an act of God to bring Haiti out of this situation. It's going to take an act of God. But God needs his church. And he's going to do it through his church. He needs his people to stand up. Godly love gives no place for envy, boasting, pride, dishonor, self-seeking, unkindness, anger, keeping records of wrong, untruthfulness, or any form of evil is not God's love. And it is this love that will transform lives. It will bring unity, but not necessarily conformity. Yes. Don't confuse the two. Because the world wants you to confuse you. They're telling you because you're not conforming to their way, you are not walking in love. No, 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 no. Don't get sucked into that. That's nonsense. Sorry, I'm telling you, I speak it like it is. It's nonsense. You know, I cannot agree with you, but love you. I cannot act like you, but love you. So love does not mean I have to conform to your way of thinking or your view or your lifestyle. No, it's not based on that. But love will bring unity, but not necessarily conformity. We may see things differently from others and therefore live a different life. But our love for all people will be shown by our attitudes and actions, regardless of our view or our walk of life. So I challenge you today to walk in perfect love, because God's love is perfect. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Can you come on up? We would love to pray for you. Give them another round of applause. Could you do that? Come on up. Yeah, she's helping you there. That's great. Oh, a spider. Oh, there was a spider on the table. It came from Haiti.
No, it's your house.
All right, listen, a lot of times, sometimes pastors feel the need to say something after a message, but thank you. There's nothing I can say that hit right to the heart. Amen? But I do want to say to us, listen, I know things look rough, but God's in control. Amen? And like we've been saying, I feel like this is the theme of this, and I didn't say this, but I'm gonna let them in on this. We kind of last minute came up with some ideas of how to bless him with their slideshow. We were trying to get it working, and I didn't know the song I picked. So the song you listened to in that was Total God, because I picked it because the minute mark was the same as what it was. And as I'm sitting there, I'm going to Scott, this is God, this was God, God of the breakthrough. And that's what we want to pray over you guys today. Father, we come to you, the God of the breakthrough. And I don't even know that song. I may have heard it once or twice in my life, but God, I feel like you are speaking something prophetic over this couple, that you are the God of breakthrough. As I said, and didn't even know what they were speaking on early, didn't know any of this. Even though we don't see it, we know you're doing something in Haiti right now. And I pray, God, that love that Roger spoke of, that agape love, the love that loves the people that we don't want to love, and the love that loves people that don't love us, is the hardest to attain. But Lord, you're giving it to us freely. So today, this morning, we accept that. And we right now just proclaim that over the Clarks in the name of Jesus, that the love of God would be their sustainer, would sustain them through the trials, where the love of God would empower them, would strengthen them. Lord, that your love will not just do that, but overflow around them no matter where they are. I pray right now, they were praying for the gang members. Lord, I pray right now for an act of God in the name of Jesus. Would you come and be the God of breakthrough in their lives? Like Roger said, they don't know what they're doing. Lord, we pray you open their eyes and set them free. Lord, I pray that Haiti would be the next China of how many people are getting saved. Lord, I pray that Haiti would be like, what? This doesn't make sense. There's revival happening in Haiti? Yes, there's revival. And because of that, Lord, there will be freedom. Lord, I pray that that will be the central place. Lord, that will be the place that people go, what is it? And it's the desperation and love of God that he has for us and his people. We stand with them and we ask that you bless them and bless their ministry. We pray, Lord, financially you would bless them. We pray favorably even with the government and the crooked government that, Lord, that they wouldn't even know why that they're favoring you. But, Lord, we speak that over them today because you are the God of breakthrough. Amen. Thank you for them. We pray that you bless them. And we just, again, are so thankful for them to be here with the Pioneer people. And we pray a blessing over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you. Give them another round of applause, will you?